Blog Talk Radio.
Oops. Sorry about that. Welcome to Fearless Generations, 12 Steps to Freedom. This is Kelly Fox, and of course we also have Terry Sayre. Tonight we're talking, continuing the conversation with step number 4, compassion, and tonight our focus is on intuition. Terry Sayre, how has your week gone so far?
Well, the first day of it went good. It was a holiday day, so that's always good when it's a holiday. Since I quit teaching, though, those holidays don't mean as much, you know?
Yeah.
When I was teaching, they meant a lot, which they probably mean a lot to you because you had all your kids home today.
I did.
Yeah. But I had a good week. I had lots of good connections and opportunities to practice compassion, and it was a good week. How about you?
Good. I had a good week. I mean, I can't complain. Liam's hands are still continuing to heal really well, and so we're very happy about that. And we don't have to go. We went to the doctor today, and we don't have to go back to the doctor. He said that we can handle the rest of his care on our own. So that's really exciting, but also nerve-wracking. But this week, since the new year, well, I started it before the new year, but since the new year, I've been trying to be more active, and so I joined a gym, and my goal was to go 3 times a week, and this week, I really didn't want to go one day. Well, because I made a goal to go Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, and on Thursday, I really didn't want to go, and I really don't want to go any of the days, but usually I get myself there, and Thursday, I just really didn't want to go, and everything was happening, and it was just getting later and later, and so I decided, okay, I'm not going to beat myself up. I didn't go today. I'll try to go tomorrow, and if it works out, it works out. So I did, well, I made it work. I got a babysitter, and I went for just a half an hour, but at least I went. And then on Saturday, I was going to go, but I didn't know that my gym closed, like, super early on a Saturday. But I got dressed. I drove down there. So I feel like that's still effort, even though I didn't actually work out. I still kept my commitment of going down to the gym. Even though this week wasn't the way that I wanted it to turn out, I still kept my commitment, and I gave myself a break for it not going the way that I wanted it to. And I feel like I'm that much more committed to doing it better this week. Though tomorrow I'm supposed to go, and I still probably will not want to, but hopefully I will.
Yeah, because it sounds to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds like you really use the tools of the 4 A's. You acknowledge that you didn't want to go. You allowed yourself to process that feeling. Then you asked yourself what you wanted, and then you acted on your commitment. So even though you didn't go that one day, you let that feeling go through you, and then you acted on your commitment and went. The other 2 days, you gave it the effort. So I like that tool of the 4 A's because it really brings out that allowing yourself to have compassion, you know, to have compassion for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And to begin,
and
really
clear,
because I heard you saying that you want to do that and you've made a commitment to that and you're clear on that. That's sort of like with my effort to be more consistent with my scripture reading, which really supports me to be able to focus. And so just a little bit before the beginning of the year, I think I talked about this last week, that I've made this commitment and acting on this commitment that I will wake up in the morning and do my scripture reading before I do anything else. And acting on that commitment, I get it done. I mean, it's just like, why didn't I do this sooner? You know?
Mm-hmm.
But I just say, oh, well, I'm going to really be kind to myself and show myself compassion that I am doing it. So I write my acknowledgments that I'm doing it. And this is the longest time that I have been able to really just act on that commitment. Just not even think about it, just act. And mm-hmm. I think that's a different, it's a different kind of feeling. I mean, it's a great feeling when you can act on your commitment and not beat yourself up, but just like you allow that feeling of, well, I don't want to do this, but I'm going to act on my commitment. To feel the feeling, you're compassionate for yourself, and then you take the action steps. So I think that's awesome. Congratulations. Mm-hmm. I wrote that as an acknowledgement.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yes. I've definitely been working on that. Kind of tied back to the homework, where our first question on the homework last week was how will having compassion for yourself help you move through change? And I think that change is changing up my routine and putting an exercise into my routine, which is something that just is not there on a normal basis, other than the occasional family walk. So the way that I've been using compassion is to, when something's new, give myself a little bit of a break, because it takes a while to start a new habit. And I think it's definitely going to take a while before I even start to like it or not fight it. So, you know, to just give myself a break. And if it doesn't go consist, you know, if I'm not great about it every single week, you know, to not just say, oh, well, forget about it. I haven't even gone, you know, I didn't go on the day I was supposed to or whatever, and just stop doing it because that's not what my intention is. My intention is to get more healthy this year. So, and then I also tried to set it up in a way where there was a little bit more flexibility. So if one day did end up not working out, like I had the goal of Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, but if one of those didn't work out, as long as I go 3 times a week, then I'm still keeping my goal and I'm still staying committed to myself. So I tried to give myself a little bit of flexibility as well in what I'm doing too, so that I'm supporting myself and keeping my commitment.
That's great. I think we were talking before the show started about another tool that is a part of Rhonda Britton's program, Fearless Pathways, and it's called the Risk Formula. And we've talked about risk. We've talked about comfort zone. We've talked about taking baby steps out of your comfort zone, that's a stretch. And then even maybe, like when I was a kid, we used to play Mother May I, so maybe it's a, you know, not a baby step, but it's a scissor step or another step to go all the way out to a risk, and then a giant step to go out to a die, which is a risk that is really, fear is really a large part of that risk. So we've talked about comfort zone. We've talked about a willingness to step out of that comfort zone is a willingness to grow, a willingness mm-hmm. to progress on your journey. And I think you've brought out the real importance here of baby steps, that it takes time to develop a new habit. But you have the awareness, you have the willingness, you've made the commitment by joining the gym, and now you're having compassion as you develop this new habit. So I think this risk formula, and we can put this up on the website as one of the tools, but it's an acronym. RISK is the acronym for the tool. And the tool is, for the R part, is to release your attachment to the outcome. So I heard Kelly do that right now as she was talking. She released the outcome of going every Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, and allowed herself some flexibility. So when we release ourselves from an outcome, it allows us to live out of that realm of expectation where we can become disappointed, we can become frustrated. It kind of releases us to the point where we can live within our decisions within our circumstances, and we can continue to move forward. Disappointment is my biggest signal to me that I'm in the land of expectations rather than in the land of being true to my intentions. So the first step in that formula is to release your attachment to the outcome, and then to invest fully in your intention, which again I heard Kelly say as she was giving us this example. So this example that she just gave us about her thought processes and her action steps towards getting healthy really went through this step. So the second thing she did was she said, I'm invested in my intention to become healthy. I'm not tied to the outcome that I go every Tuesday and Thursday and every Saturday. I'm flexible. I'm allowing myself compassion because of circumstances that may arise or whatever. I'm not becoming discouraged. I'm not beating myself up. So she's invested in that intention, and she's standing for her truth. Her truth is that she wants to be healthy. That's her journey. That's part of her goal. And she's keeping kindness or compassion as a priority. So that's the R, release your attachment to the outcome. The I, invest fully in your intention. The S, stand for your truth. And K, keep kindness or compassion a priority. So I think you just gave us a really good, you know, relevant life experience that you're going through right now as a young mother, and that is using that formula to progress, taking baby steps and sometimes medium-sized steps, and for sometimes dies. You really don't want to go, but you're committed and you are fully invested in your intention. So this is probably, just listening to you, this is one of the first times that I really think, listening to you as your mom, that you're going to be successful at this because of using that formula to where you're releasing those expectations, those outcomes. You're releasing an attachment to those, and you're just invested fully in your intention, which is to get healthy. And so because of that, you're standing for what's true for you, and you are keeping compassion a priority. So I think, you know, we couldn't have had a better example than just what you just went through. Yeah, because you're doing that because you have this, you're listening to that truth, which is your intuition. You know, you're listening to what you want to do, what you're meant to be, which is a healthy, vibrant young woman. And you're acting on that intention, and you are listening to your body, listening to your soul, listening to your heart, and you're moving forward. So great! I really appreciate that example. I think it should be very helpful to anybody who listens to that. So
thank you.
I just want to apologize for that because I think now maybe we need to do a little bit of connecting that to the idea of how compassion brings about our capacity to get to our intuition. So I don't know, let's talk a little bit about what it is, and maybe some synonyms for intuition. People might call it a lot of different things. What do you think? If we were to define it.
I think intuition can be something different for everyone. And so, like all of the words that we use, we need to define them for ourselves. And what do they mean to us? And not just a dictionary version of that word, but what do they mean to us? What feelings come up when we try to describe this word? And how we'll use it in our lives. And I think for me, intuition is almost like a still small voice, or, you know, if I'm speaking religiously, it's, you know, the Holy Ghost whispering to me, you know, what I should do. And I think you can use your intuition in almost every facet of your life and several times during the day, to small decisions all the way up to, you know, those big, scary whopper decisions that you have going on. So intuition, like I said in the the preview for today is something that you definitely want to cultivate. And learning the difference between your intuition, which, as Terry was saying, is your truth, and the voice of fear. So learning the difference between what is true to your heart and true to you, and what is that other voice, that voice of fear, you know, I call it my broken record, or, you know, whatever you want to call it, that the opposite side of the coin. Learn the difference between those two voices so that when you're listening to that voice, you know it's coming from the truest part of you and not that part of you that wants to stay small and live in your comfort zone. So I believe, Terry, you were talking about different things that we can check ourselves on to know whether or not it's our intuition or the voice of fear.
Yeah, I love that, what you said about keeping yourself small. I think that really resonates with me. If we're going to listen to fear, it's going to keep us small. And we talked before about language and how language affects our capacity to really connect to ourselves. And so I think one of the ways to know if it's your intuition or fear is there's no guilt attached to intuition. There's no you should. You know how we talked about just take should and need to out of your language and say can, might, could. That leads you to this ability to use your intuition, because when you say, oh, or if I don't, I have to, or something bad will happen, those kinds of turmoil, those kinds of agitating, that just kind of agitate your thinking and make you, for me, it's just kind of like a jittery feeling, instead of the quiet, silent, like you talked about, the quiet, silent nudge that comes from whatever it comes from for you. For me, it comes from my Heavenly Father. It comes in the form of a small voice, and it brings a calmness and a confidence. So if you could weigh those feelings, the nervous agitation of I have to do that, if I don't do that, this is going to happen, oh, I should do that, oh, if I don't, I'm not a good mother, or whatever. You know, if those are the kind of feelings that you're having in this decision-making process, then you might want to ask yourself the question, is this fear or is this intuition? If there's a calmness, there's still this still frightful thing. You're taking a risk. You're stepping out of your comfort zone, but it's not that agitated kind of feeling. It's more of a calm, more of a confidence. You step forward. Like they say, faith is stepping forward when you don't know where you're going. It's like taking that step into the darkness, taking that step where you can't see where you're going. But you do it with a calm faith and confidence that you're making a decision that's going to propel you forward. So I think that's a way to really know if it's fear or it's your intuition. So that whole idea of language and that feeling of I have to do this, if I don't do this, then this is going to happen, rather than I want to do this, I'm ready to take this risk, I'm ready to live to my intention, and I have no expectations about what's going to happen, I'm going to follow this intuition, go down this path. And I don't know, does that make sense to kind of equate it that way and balance that?
Mm-hmm. I think so, definitely. I think, and it's important to give each voice a personality, because then I think it makes it easier to tell which voice it's coming from. And I think if you think of like the angel and the devil sitting on either shoulder, you can think of it that way. Or one way that I think of it, we've talked a lot about the Fearless Living coaching retreat that we did in September of last year. And during that retreat, Terry and I both participated in the play that we put on for the other coaches. And there were coaches in the play, and we performed it for the other coaches. And, well, actually, there were other people there as well, but for the people at the retreat. And it was really interesting for me because my part in the play was Captain Fear. And this was all based on the story of Peter Pan. And Terry played Wendy. And during the play, I, as Captain Fear, was trying to convince Wendy to live small and play small. And there was one of my lines that really resonated with a lot of the people, not only the people in the play, but the people watching the play, that they came up and they told me, when you said that, it was like, it was so real. Like, it was almost like, that's how Fear talks to me. And all I was doing was saying her name, and it was just, Wendy, Wendy, Wendy. And people came up to me and they said, oh my gosh, that's how Fear talks to me. And so that's a lot of the times when I think about it, okay, is this Captain Fear? Is this Captain Fear coming through and saying, oh, Kelly, 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 you don't want to do that. You don't want to take that risk. You don't want to put yourself out there. You don't want to fail. You don't want people to see that you failed. Because that's Captain Fear, right? And when Rhonda Pan in the play, or Larissa Bell, which probably won't make as much sense, but she played Tinkerbell, you know, they were like, you know, what's going on for you there, Kelly? You know, talking to me, if I put it in, you know, them talking to me and not talking to Wendy. But in the play, they would talk to Wendy. What's going on for you? Yeah, you can do this. You know, you have the tools. You can step forward. You can have this life that you want for yourself. You can have these dreams. You can have all of this that you want, right? So your intuition, you know, you could give a personality as Rhonda Pan, or as someone who sees all your potential and wants you to achieve it, and your fear as Captain Hook, who wants you to play small and wants you to be safe. And doesn't want you to grow. So I think if you give it a personality, you can say, okay, would Rhonda Pan be telling me this, or would Captain Fear be telling me this? Because they definitely have their own personalities and would not be saying the same thing. So however you want to see it, however you know, you can say it as the angel or the devil. You can say it as Heavenly Father or Satan. You can say it as, you know, fear or freedom, however you need to see the difference between the two things. I think it's very important, because when you know it's the truth, when you know it's your intuition, but you're scared, you can still step forward into it. When you're unsure, it's your intuition and you're scared, you're going to be less likely to step into it. So I think it's very important to learn the difference between the two.
Yeah, I agree. Really, that's great. Again, a great analogy. Because really, we were born with that intuition. We came to the earth with that intuition. When we were young, it was much more loud and clear. But, you know, every time we got hurt or disappointed, or covered up our feelings, or shut down our feelings, our intuition became less obvious to us. And so we really stopped trusting ourselves, and our self-confidence may have waned, and that it was safer not to listen to our intuition and instead listen to our worries and our concerns and let fear run our life. You know, instead. So that's why a lot of people, as they mature and they get stuck, it's because they've listened to those worries and concerns and they've shut down and they've forgotten that intuition tells them the difference between what they should do and what they're meant to do. So I think that, again, is a great analogy. And just thinking about that play and how the gal who wrote that, her name is Kara. And she was just inspired that she wrote that, in terms of weaving the strategies and tools of fearless living into that familiar story of Peter Pan, and how Captain Hook, or Captain Fear, as he was called in our play, just subtly comes in and can convince you that you aren't good enough, that you can't break loose of your worries and your concerns and your doubts. So that's a great, again, a great analogy to help help our listeners and to remind us of the importance of knowing the difference between fear. And I think it's really good that what you're saying is, when you step into the risk, the arena of risk, outside of your comfort zone, there is a confidence that comes when you're listening to your intuition. And you almost willingly step into that. It's that willingness again, that awareness, the awareness of the difference between fear and intuition gives you the willingness then to take that risk, and remembering to have the compassion for yourself as you move forward. So I think that was a great, another great statement. So you're just full of them tonight, Kelly.
Oh, well, thank you. We have just over 3 minutes left. So is there anything else that you want to say before we leave?
I don't know. I think it's just like everything else that we've brought up, and the tools that we've talked about and the concepts. Now we've gone through awareness, willingness, connection, and compassion, is that we're practicing. And that willingness to practice and that willingness to have compassion for ourselves and to not give up, but to keep practicing and keep being aware and keep being willing to make connections with others and to move forward and compassion for ourselves and others, that it's that I'm willing to practice. That makes such a big difference when you're setting your intentions. I'm willing to practice whatever that is. It's not I'm going to do it, just like your example of the exercising. Willing to practice, becoming habituated to practice that. And you may never develop this love and desire of exercising, but you have a willingness to continue practicing because your intention is to be healthy.
Right. Yeah. And there is an awesome chapter in Rhonda Britton's Change Your Life in 30 Days book about intuition, and there's exercises in there and questions to ask yourself. And I would definitely encourage you, if you haven't gotten that book yet, get that book and read it through. It is an amazing book. And there's not only intuition, but all kinds of excellent stuff in there. And some of the things we've talked about, some of the things we haven't talked about, we may talk about, but it's an excellent tool. The book is already on our tool page on our website, so you can find it there. But it's called Change Your Life in 30 Days by Rhonda Britton. It's an excellent book. So please use that. I will definitely be adding the risk formula to our tool page tonight as well. And hopefully soon we will be having Terry's notes on our page, on our website for you to access as well. So if you are listening to this at a different time, you can go to the website afterwards and you can see what Terry is getting from our discussions tonight, because she always takes notes from on each of our calls of what stands out to her and what she is going to take going forward. So hopefully we'll be able to get that going on the website soon. The page is there. We just don't have Terry's notes yet. But as always, we thank you for joining us for this half hour and being with us as Fearless Generations and going through these 12 steps to freedom. We ask that you come back with us next week, and we will be wrapping up compassion and be excited to move on to the next step. So we thank you again for joining us. We ask that you continue to join us and continue to go to the website and to like us on our Facebook page, like us here on Blog Talk Radio so that you get reminders and all of that to set yourself up for success. We thank you and have a great week. Thank you, Jerry.
All right. Thank you, Kelly. Bye.
Goodbye.